Morning Fort McMurray with Buffalo and the rest of the world. You've tuned in to the Mac City Morning Show. I am your host, Elliot Pierre, and we're going to start this episode off the same way we start every episode off, with a moment of gratitude. I know that you could be doing a million other things with your time, and the fact that you spend it with us truly does mean the world to me, so thank you. On that note, Tanner, hit him with the intro.
How's she cutting me, loves? You're listening to the Mac City Morning Show.
Hey everybody, Keith Simpson here from Norel Toyota. Just a quick chat about the wonderful community we live in here. As you guys know, we support the Oil Barons. We've joined the Drive-In Movie Theater. We're involved in the marathon here in Fort McMurray, and make sure we're taking care of the kids and all the local businesses, all the local charities, and all the local foundations, guys. That's what makes this community such an amazing place to live.
And we are back. Maybe that does affect the sound. No? You're not hearing it, Tanner?
No, I'm hearing it, but the
guests?
The guests aren't.
All right, so they're doing some construction outside and on the roof, so if you're hearing any clinging and clanging, that's what it is. Big shout-out to Norel Toyota, our title sponsor for today's episode. Do appreciate your ongoing support. As you know, I don't introduce my guests because they can do a better job of that than myself. So, sir, can you please tell everybody at home who you are and what you're about?
Yeah, hi, my name is Kevin Weidlich, and I'm the president and CEO of Fort McMurray Wood Buffalo Economic Development and Tourism.
Very cool. That is a mouthful of a title.
You have to take a breath in the name.
So you've been in this role for a few years now.
Yeah, I came to Fort McMurray in January of 2019. That's when I started.
Okay. Now, we've had a few of your colleagues on the show, but it's been a bit. So can you explain to the people at home kind of what is the role, the purpose, the function of what you and your team do in the community?
Yeah, so our corporation, we focus on obviously economic development and tourism, but it's more than that too. We really have four lines of business.
Okay.
So one is to help to grow the local economy, supporting businesses to grow and grow beyond the region, creating more wealth, more jobs, more opportunities for businesses to thrive here in the region.
Yeah.
We also attract investment and capital into the region so that more businesses can be successful. More businesses mean businesses can do more business with each other.
Okay.
So that's the investment attraction play. We also market the region as a place for visitors.
Okay.
And so that's our tourism play.
Yeah.
And hand in glove with that is we help to develop the tourism sector. So this region doesn't have a lot of tourism operators, not a lot of large scale operators.
Right.
That's a tremendous piece of growth.
Okay.
And the last thing that we do is we market the region as a great place for residents, for people to come and live in Fort McMurray.
That's right.
And
I've
spent a lot of time on that lately.
Mm-hmm.
And really, to support all of that, we take a place-branded approach. And you'll remember you interviewed Andrea Haley about our work on the Fort McMurray Wood Buffalo brand.
That's right.
And the whole idea of that is that's meant to inspire and help the entire community to market ourselves. Not just one organization can do all the stuff that I just listed.
Right.
It takes the entire community to do that. Brand is a mechanism that enables all of us to market the region in a coherent way.
Right. Now, since you've been in the role, obviously huge hurdle, you had a pandemic that kind of slowed down everything in regards to just movement of people in general. How have you seen, or have you seen like an uptick since of people starting to trickle back in or wanting to invest either like their selves moving here or like you're saying capital investment? What have you seen since things have like started to reopen a little bit?
Yeah, so we are definitely seeing an uptick.
Yeah.
In fact, I was just looking at the census numbers this morning.
Okay.
And so the Stats Canada publishes the census numbers.
Right.
And our region continues to grow. In fact, Alberta's net migration is significantly larger than anywhere else in Alberta.
Okay.
And one of the big benefits of that migration is Fort McMurray.
Okay.
So that's a bit of a change.
Yeah.
You know, you'd say that's about 2 years ago, it was stifled.
Yeah.
And so that's definitely bodes well.
Yeah.
The most of that immigration that change comes from immigration.
Yeah.
So, and this is relatively new in the last 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
So you know you'd basically tag it to the reopening of the economy. Lifting of restrictions for COVID, that sort of stuff.
Right.
So that's a migration piece. And then now answer about the investment piece. We are picking up a lot of, having a lot more positive conversations with developers and investors in the region.
Yeah.
So there's no question that like in the region, lots of people say to me, we need more commercial retail in Fort McMurray.
Yeah.
And I couldn't agree more. In fact, you know, I live it just as much as anybody else.
That's right.
We'd like to see the big box stores in town and that. We talked to the big box stores, and when we started talking to them in 2019, lots of hemming and hawing.
Mm-hmm.
During the pandemic, well, you know, it's a different environment. We need to figure out things.
That's right.
So we took the opportunity to gather data and put together the business case as to whether or not and to answer the questions that we typically get from developers and
right.
from retailers and investors. And we've got some pickups. So since the opening, we're speaking to literally dozens of investors in terms of developers who want to develop land for new buildings
right.
and commercial retail. So I think we should look at it with optimism.
Yeah.
But to caution, it still takes time.
Yeah.
It takes 2 years. But from when a developer says, hey, I'm interested.
Right.
To them to actually get to a point of groundbreaking.
Right.
2 years is the fastest.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. So
this is fascinating to me. I have no idea what this process looks like. So when you have like a big box store, like I think of like a business that would just like move into an existing building.
Right.
So in these scenarios, are these stores saying like, no, are they like pulling like the old school McDonald's method of like, I'll buy the land, I'll own the building. And like now I'm in real estate. And so I'm just putting my business in what I own. Or do you have like a developer who says like, you know what? I see that there's a potential for X, Y, and Z store to move in here. I'll roll the dice. I'll build the facility and then hopefully they'll move into it. Like, is it a chicken before the egg?
Yeah, it's a really good question. And the model changes and depends on who you're talking to, right?
Right.
So generally speaking, the bigger the outfit, the more likely they'll do their own thing.
Right.
Like the founder in McDonald's, great movie, right?
Yeah.
But that's the story of McDonald's. They went from burgers to real estate.
That's right.
So the larger ones are more likely to undertake that, but they have to be the massive ones.
Right.
And even the great big ones still would prefer to have a developer to do it.
Yeah.
And developers don't really roll the dice. They make sure they got all their ducks in a row.
Right, right, right.
Because, you know, the numbers are big.
Yeah.
So they look for that anchor tenant,
mm-hmm.
and as long as they can secure a deal, even if it's a conditional deal.
Yeah.
As long as they got them and they have the financing in place for them to undertake the deal, then they go for it. And that's the conversation that we have with them in terms of what is available to them to develop.
Right.
Right. And so we work hand in glove with the municipality. Municipality owns the land.
Yeah.
We work with them to market it. But it's not just the municipal-owned land. We
also
work with private sector landowners. We work with not-for-profit organizations that have land.
Right.
Perfect example is the airport. They have lots of land as well.
That's right.
Keanu College has land.
Yeah.
Obviously municipality, and there's other private sector landlords. So we speak to all of them.
Okay.
We also gather the information, the questions that get asked of them.
Yeah.
We figure out ways to answer them coherently, gather data, present it in a meaningful way. I'm going to give a plug for my website.
Let's hear it.
So fmwb.ca. So
okay.
If you're interested in understanding the research, just simply go to fmwb.ca and follow the path to reports, and we have a bunch of reports and data. And this is where the business guys go, and they pull this stuff and
make
their business decisions that way.
Yeah, it's fascinating, because I just know that that development that happened up in Timberley where the movie theater is.
Mm-hmm.
Eagle Ridge. Like, that took a while, and it was, like, a lot of vacancies for a bit. Mm-hmm. Like, like you said, they had their staple in regards to the movie theater, and then you had Banquet. And then, but like some of those other buildings took a while, but over the last year or so, like they've really started to fill up, and you go there now and that place is packed.
Yeah.
Like it's hopping too. Like, and not just with businesses, but people actually like going into the businesses. Like we just went to, what was the restaurant
called? Five Guys.
Five Guys. Yeah. For the first time. Really good food. And it was hard for me to find parking. So I was just like, hey, that's never a bad sign to like businesses like having good foot traffic.
Right? Those are good problems to have from my perspective.
Yeah, that's exactly it. So I'm interested because I haven't looked at this in a while. How many people do we have? Like, I don't need like the exact number, but how many people live here now?
So good question. All in.
Yeah.
75,000 in the urban service area of Fort McMurray.
So and that's not is that including shadow population?
No.
Wow.
No. So,
serious.
Yeah, 75,000. And then you add the shadow population. That's the volatile number.
That's right.
So it'll go down to as low as 28 and high to as high as about 32. So we use really? We use 30,000 as the shadow population number.
Oh my goodness, yeah, so that is tremendous.
You know, it's interesting. So the shadow population is there.
So that's a rough estimate of 105,000 people.
Here. I would have never have guessed that.
Yeah.
That's especially after the wildfire and economy slowdown. Like, that's unbelievable.
Yeah, and the other interesting thing is we have two censuses since the wildfire that right. we can look at.
Yeah.
So 2018, 2021.
Mm-hmm. So it's fresh data.
Yeah. Permanent population grew by just over 1%.
Holy.
So this is really interesting because I came to the region in 2019, right?
Right, right.
And so, you know, I'm paying attention, going, okay, well, we have a data point post wildfire. That's interesting. Mm-hmm. And trying to understand why there's a sense of frustration, malaise. There's that feeling, right?
Yeah.
And it was permeating not just in Fort McMurray, but people are like, yeah, Fort McMurray, you know, I'm not sure if it's a good place to invest. And I'm like,
right.
Wait a second.
Yeah.
Great place to invest. Let's get the data to prove it.
Yeah.
And we didn't cherry pick. We just gathered the information.
That's right.
And the data is really good.
Yeah.
So, you know, when you think about it, we now know who the permanent population is because we have
right.
two data points post wildfire.
Yeah.
Like if you're going to leave, like the wildfire was probably
a good time to do it.
Right.
That's right. Wow. I would have, that's shocking to me.
Or even like the 2020 flood.
Yeah. There's like, been places, there's been times where you could have
yeah.
packed up and said, you know.
But I mean, like the 2020 flood is another good example of you had the census the next year and you would have seen the numbers drop if it was
yeah.
a huge effector.
That's a good point, yeah. And the other thing, too, is what's within the census numbers, which is really interesting, too. Mm-hmm. So, for example, we have the most diverse population per capita than anywhere else in Canada.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
So, yep.
And you guys know that we live it every day.
That's
we
right.
see it. Right.
That's right.
So, but outside the region,
yeah,
it's not understood.
That's right.
Then you add into the mix that we also have one of the youngest populations.
Yep.
Average age 33. We know that, but it also means that we have a very young population. Kids mm-hmm. under the age of 14.
Yeah.
That cohort is actually big.
That's right.
So much so that our schools are bursting at the seams.
That's right.
They were bursting when I was going
That's
there.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. Fort McMurray, it was fascinating for me growing up here. It's quite the bubble, but it is so multicultural and diverse.
Yeah,
and growing up here, you take that completely for granted as a child, like that you just hang out with like black kids, Asian kids, Indigenous kids, just like you're five, I'm five. You like Spider-Man? I like Spider-Man. And okay, we're friends,
yeah,
right? And so you grow up, see like just that being normal and having like a multicultural group of friends. And then when I moved to Edmonton to do post-secondary, that's not the case in regards to it's very siloed in major cities. Like people that look like this hang there
yeah,
and they hang there.
Different pockets within
that's
the,
right.
Within
and
the
because
city.
You have the volume to do so. But what a tremendous asset for me that was to be able to like understand other cultures because like you're going to people's houses and you're eating their food and you're seeing like, hey, your parents raise you differently from my parents. And you're seeing all of that. And it just makes you a more well-rounded human being. And that's a huge asset that I think Fort McMurray gives to
and gives
young
us a
families.
Very rich cultural experience ourselves
that's right.
too. No, it's I'm experiencing it as well. I have teen boys.
Yeah,
and they're thriving in school. They love going to West. They go to Westwood. And
yeah,
and the cultural diversity is an asset. It's,
yeah,
it's one of the biggest selling
yeah.
features.
I yeah, say. Man. Well, listen, Tanner tapped his phone. That means he's got his questions ready for the Max City Minute. But before we jump into the questions, let's hear a little bit from Carrie. Tanner.
Hi, it's Carrie with Patchouli Rose Herbal Apothecary. I know our summer is coming quickly to an end. And during the summer, we always think of applying our sunscreen. But sunscreen is a product that we should be using every day of the year to protect our skin against harmful UVA and UVB rays, also against premature aging. I have a product called Dandelion Harvest, which is moisturizing, anti-inflammatory, and is great for anti-aging. You can use this every day of the year, and it's very moisturizing. If you want to check this product and any of my other products out, please go to patchoulirose.com.
And we're back. Thank you, Carrie from Patchouli Rose. I love that you talk during that. I do it too. So you might be, what, the second or third guest?
Third or fourth, yeah.
Who's talked during the commercials because they think the mics are off.
Oh,
so that's
funny.
It's live. That's awesome. Like, myself and Tanner are really big on, like,
Continuity errors.
Yeah, and like imperfections. We think that's what makes the show really pop. Anyways, Tanner, hit him with the Max City Minute.
Alrighty. Question number one. What is your proudest achievement for your time in your position?
My proudest achievement for my time in my position. So I think it's the development of the Fort McMurray Wood Buffalo brand and how it was co-created by the entire region. So it wasn't just us making it. We brought it to the region. We brought the idea of, hey, let's figure out a way to market our region in an innovative way.
Yeah.
And brand marketing is a very innovative way for places.
Yeah.
I put the team together to lead it. They did a fantastic job. It's not my achievement. Just about everything that I get to claim credit to is actually done by somebody else.
Right.
So the work that our team put together that worked with people from all walks of life in this region, from as far north as Fort Fitzgerald to Conklin, all the communities, all the Indigenous communities, the Métis communities, First Nation communities, also the people from all walks of life here in Fort McMurray and et cetera. And so they developed the brand in a coherent, inspirational way that really reflects this region. So it gives us the language to market our way in the way that we want to be marketed as opposed to being branded by others.
Right. That's awesome.
Question number two. What is one reason you think someone would love to visit, work, or move to Fort McMurray?
That's a simple question. Many, but the first one, the Aurora Borealis. It's astonishing, you know, when you look outside on out your back deck and you can see the lights, even with the light pollution.
That's right.
That's one reason. There's many others, but I'm going to stick to one because I know you got a time limit.
Okay.
Question number three: when you go to other cities, what kind of tourist attractions do you enjoy going to?
Good question.
I love water sports, so I like. And I love scuba diving. So if I can get anywhere to go do a scuba dive, I'm in.
Question number four. What is your best memory you have from shopping in a big box store?
I got a memory.
That's
good.
That's a funny one.
Yeah, Tanner hits with like the questions that bring you back to your childhood.
Yeah, well, you know what? Buying a high-tech plasma TV.
Yeah,
boy, did I spend a lot of money on that TV.
Back in the day, they were so expensive.
Yeah,
and so heavy.
Yeah.
I actually had to reinforce my wall to mount it. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, to think that it was basically the Betamax of televisions in those days.
That's right. Betamax. What a sweet throwback. I can almost guarantee you most people that watch the show are not going to have any idea what you're talking about.
Said, that's awesome.
That's awesome.
But you did, so that's I what did. Counts.
That made my day. Yeah, that was awesome.
And your final question, what do you think is one reason someone would want to travel to Tucson right now other than the weather?
Oh, that's simple. Golf. That's one, but I'm going to give you more than one.
Yeah,
so
go for it.
Golf, hiking, cycling, hiking in the mountains. Checking out really neat places, Tombstone, Arizona. So I'll stop there. Great reasons to go to Tucson.
Those have been your five questions.
Yeah. Thanks, Tanner. Yeah, no. So let's talk about Tucson a little bit. That's we were there on the inaugural flight. I saw you and your wife went down as well. I've been talking to a few people. So this whole month of January, what we've done is myself and Tanner collected a lot of interviews and talked to a lot of people while we were there. But to break up just the Tucson people. And shop owners, we wanted to interview individuals who actually were there as well from Fort McMurray. So like they can talk about like their experience and their time there. So when you were down in Tucson, what did you guys kind of participate in?
Yeah, so we stayed at a nice golf resort hotel.
Which one did you stay?
The JW Marriott.
Okay. Yeah.
And really enjoyed it. So Gaylene and I, we went down on the inaugural flight. It's four days, right? Mm-hmm. And so first couple days, we just kept on our own pace.
Yeah.
Had breakfast when we wanted to. And during breakfast, we said, well, what would we like to do today? So we said, let's see if we can go golfing. And believe it or not, we got exactly the tee time we wanted.
Yeah.
And exactly the pace that we wanted to go golfing at was
nice,
perfect.
Nice.
So we did the first day golf. Second day, I did some golfing. Gaylene had a pool day. It was a beautiful, sunny afternoon.
Yeah.
And you know, in the evenings we just basically go out for drinks or dinner with friends.
Yeah.
And then next couple of days it got a little bit cool.
Yeah.
And so that's when we went to I went to the aviation museum.
Okay.
And,
nice.
And there's also the airplane graveyard.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
And fascinating, acres and acres of airplanes.
Yeah.
And I'm a bit of a military guy, so I dig that stuff. So
that's awesome.
We spent some days doing that. So nice. In 4 days, it felt like a whirlwind.
Yeah.
We enjoyed it so much that Gaylene and I decided to take our kids to Tucson. We're heading right after Christmas for a week in Tucson.
Nice.
Whole family.
Now, are you staying in a hotel? You're renting Airbnb?
This time we're doing an Airbnb.
Nice.
And
nice.
Like, talk about value. So for all five of us, Airbnb, heated pool, the flight, car rental, $5,000 Canadian.
Yeah.
Or thereabouts.
Yeah.
Right? So
it's a very affordable trip.
Yeah.
What I loved about it more than anything else, and like you take this for granted, like you don't take it for granted because it doesn't happen that much anymore. Being able to fly out of Fort McMurray to a location and not having to like stop somewhere else and like keep your fingers crossed that like, oh my gosh, I hope I make my connecting flight or I hope nothing goes wrong, and not have to like drive from Fort McMurray to Edmonton, and then like that wears on you. So literally to get on a plane that's like 4 hours and change and be where you want to be, and then at the end of the trip come back and just be done with it, it's like that's a real like vacation.
I couldn't agree more. Like nobody likes the travel portion of a vacation.
Yeah.
And to make it as simple as possible.
Yeah.
Big reason why we have the flight.
Yeah.
Another big reason is ensuring that Canada Border Service Agency is still able to provide service out of the airport.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we did a partnership with the airport to ensure that border services can be provided there. Basically, we help to underwrite the cost,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
and that's a big deal, right?
Yeah.
Because that allows us to do those direct flights,
yeah.
And it's part of a bigger picture piece as well. So,
right,
you know, we get that, you know, going to Tucson,
yeah,
it'd be nice to have visitors coming in too.
Right.
So, and we're getting them; they're trickling in. There's other reasons to have visitors coming in on that Tucson flight.
Yeah,
but the big economic play,
yeah,
is baggage handlers, contractors, all the people that work at the airport.
Yeah,
all of that's local business. That's local employment. That's local
right.
jobs.
That's right.
So the more airplanes that whether they're a sun destination for Fort McMurrayans or a connection bringing people into Fort McMurray, no matter what, it creates economic activity and stimulus.
Yeah,
it's a big deal.
Yeah, it is a big deal. And like we used to have a lot of flights coming in to Fort McMurray for workers as well. Mm-hmm. Like a lot of those direct flights serviced like the oil and gas, right? So I remember there was one year I actually chartered a number of planes to fly like my staff back east, and like it was eye-opening to me how much work it was to charter a plane and to like get a bus to take your staff. Like it was, I just figured like, hey, listen, I got the money. Like, let's get a plane.
Yes, yeah.
This is going to be easy. Like, there's a lot that goes behind it. And like you said, the amount of staff that it took to make that happen, tremendous.
Yeah, it's time consuming.
That's right. That's right. So have you been to Tucson? That was your first trip, or have you been there before?
That was my first trip, yeah.
Oh, really?
Well,
okay.
Well, I drove through it.
Okay.
So to be fair, yeah. I didn't spend a lot of time in it.
Right.
Well, going to Austria on a tangent, but wife and I, some 20 years ago, packed up all our stuff and decided to move to Mexico for a year. So we drove through Tucson and Nogales and lived a year in Guadalajara.
Well, next time you come back on the show, we're going to have to talk about that. That sounds fascinating. But Tanner tapped his watch, so that means we're out of time. But before we cut you loose, everybody gets a shameless shout-out or plug. So you have the mic, the camera, the lights. Have fun.
Yeah, so I'm going to give a plug to our website, so fmwb.ca.
Yep.
And anybody that's interested in understanding what it is that we do and the breadth of the services that we provide, just go to fmwb.ca, and you can surf through. It's a very good website, and talks about the place from a visitor's perspective, investor's perspective, and a place for new residents.
Awesome, awesome. Well, man, thank you very much for coming today. Really do appreciate your time. I know you're a busy man. Next time you come on, we're going to talk all about that Mexico lifestyle you had for a little bit there. Sweet. Okay. All right. Well, for McMurray Wood Buffalo, the rest of the world, thank you so much for tuning in. Really do appreciate everybody that watches these episodes. Big shout out to our title sponsor, Norrell Toyota, as well as Carrie from Patchouli Rose. Thank you both for your ongoing support. I appreciate that as well. Hope everybody at home is having a great day. We'll see you tomorrow. Peace.